Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 21st chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text that has already been read. So where were you when 9/11 happened? I was in my car, going through Colorado Springs, northbound on I-25 on my way to school, and a coworker called me. Looks like a plane crashed into a building in New York. They think it was probably a private plane. The building's burning. Looks bad. Was bad. Bad things happen all the time. That was arguably the most bad thing ever to happen to this country. By the time I got to school, it was clear that it wasn't a small private plane, but a commercial airliner filled with people and fuel. So we set up a TV and watched with our students as the second airliner hit the second tower. People were talking on the TV, but I don't think I heard one word from the commentator. When the first tower fell, it was to me stunning how one floor pancaked onto the next, top to bottom, and it was over. In a matter of just a few seconds, 104 stories compressed to, looked a lot like the temple in Jerusalem must have looked in 70 AD. Eyewitnesses tell us that not one stone was left on another stone, just like Jesus said would happen. That was a bad time for Israel. Some of you may remember Pearl Harbor, another bad time for our country. The loss of their temple, it was like that. It was like 9/11, probably worse. See, you may have noticed that we're getting to that time of the year that the culture calls the holiday season. Holiday season now seems to begin, the holiday season now seems to begin with the Halloween celebration, and I still don't know exactly what we're celebrating. Coming up next month, or this month, Thanksgiving. And if you don't believe in God, to whom are you giving thanks? And I see we've come up with a solution to that now. Thanksgiving Day has become Turkey Day. Turkey Day. I took care of that problem. Then comes Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, top it off with the New Year's Eve. We celebrate with the East Coast, that way we can go to bed earlier. And for about an hour every week, you come to church and escape the commotion that is called the holiday season. Here, we're moving toward the end of the church year. The propers for the end of the church year, things that change every week, about 80% of the service, the readings, introit, collect, hymns, sermon are about the end of the world. And the second act, that is heaven. That's the end of the church year, and in 2 weeks, we're going to start all over again with the first Sunday in Advent. Today, we see that Jesus spends almost an entire chapter. We don't read it all, but he spends about an entire chapter out of Luke's 24 chapters preaching a sermon on the end times, the second coming of Christ, the last day. Right before that, Jesus had pointed out that the widow who gave her last mite, about a half a penny, actually gave more than the heavy hitters because she gave her all. You're familiar with that story. That happened in the temple in Jerusalem, and the temple was a very nice building. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings. And how did we get from the widow's mite to talking about the building? I think that they were probably saying to Jesus something like, yeah, well, that's all good about that one mite and all, but that one mite didn't pay for all this. Why do I think that's what happened here? Because that's the way people are. Reading through the Bible, we can't help but notice that people are people, different times, different places, different from us in a host of ways, but it's consistent in all human history. People, people. And people who wanted to talk about the not all stones are the same. And the stones used on the temple were very expensive. Cut limestone, granite, marble, and no, that mite didn't buy all of this. Probably said by people who did. And Jesus counters with, I'm going to paraphrase here, enjoy it while you can. Because this temple you're looking at with all its beautiful stones is not long for this world. Enjoy it while you can. Not going to be here for much longer. He goes on to talk about all the commotion in the world. And very soon that commotion will touch them in a very personal and devastating way. Their city will be destroyed. And this beautiful building, and it was a beautiful building, not one stone left upon another. So if you look around at our beautiful building here, and what if the preacher told you that in a very short time, the building isn't going to be here? All this stained glass broken. All this fine wood burned. The banner shredded. The communion ware melted down. All the hymnals and Bibles and flammable materials thrown into one large flame. How would you feel if I told you that? Well, they want to know when Jesus thinks this is going to happen. They're looking for a sign. And you know what the first words out of the mouth of Jesus are. Take heed that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. The time is near. Do not follow them. A sign. Well, you're going to hear a lot of commotion. And it's going to be the usual kind of commotion. There's your sign. These people call Jesus teacher. And let's break that down. To call him teacher means that they want him to teach them. And it means that they want to learn from him. That sounds to him, I think, like a teachable moment. We note here that these are people who are trying to embrace this new religion. This new religion. And just exactly what is this old new religion about? And who to better tell them about this new religion that they're following but the one who started it, Jesus? I think there were people who thought that Christianity meant living large. Or at least a life lived on Easy Street. Sort of like these days, people tell you that Christianity, the health and wealth gospel, if you're a Christian, you'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy, everything will be fine. That's not a new thing. And it's the way of every other religion, the promise of a better life. That's why you should embrace our religion. Jesus talks about those people in the parable of the seed, which falls on rocky ground and has no root. When tribulation or persecution arise, that guy's out of here. And then Jesus says there's the seed that falls among thorns, who hears the word. But the cares of this world and the delight in riches cover the word, and it proves unfaithful. And there were others who, thinking big picture, thought that maybe Jesus came to fix all the broken things in the world, that he would bring an end to constants like war, famine, earthquake, and the like. Things that are big killers. Those things are all destructive and they kill. And Jesus teaches those who are open to learning about the Christian religion that these things will continue to be. There will continue to be a lot of commotion in the world. This just in, there's still a lot of commotion in the world. Turmoil, upheaving, beginning with the planet itself. The planet is alive and living, constantly changing. We can't see what's going on down there, but there's a lot going on down there. Heat and gravity causing the earth to move and buckle. producing mountains and earthquakes and things like that. And even as we speak, new land is coming out of the earth from Kilauea, the volcano on the Big Island. Water is constantly moving, carving the Grand Canyon, eroding mountains, and sometimes there's just too much water. And we get floods, and that causes a lot of commotion. Christianity is not going to change those things, and it hasn't. We can build buildings that are less prone to earthquake damage and floods. It seems like the more we do, maybe the worse they get. And then there's the commotion on the earth's surface caused by the sun, air, and the like. The winds and currents that keep the planet alive turn into hurricanes and tornadoes. And they can also cause death and destruction. Now Jesus could, and he did, still a storm. But that's not why Jesus came into the world. Nor can we divert a hurricane or a tornado. If we could, what does that mean? Just means that that destructive and maybe deadly storm would strike somewhere else. I don't think anybody even prays for the storm to just go away. We may pray for God to put it anywhere but here. And Christianity does not get rid of that commotion. And then there's war. Talk about commotion. Many of them fought by Christians versus Christians. Pat Buchanan talks about World War I and II, World Wars I and II, as, quote, the great Christian Civil War. And for a long time, we didn't have to actually see death and destruction of war. We heard about it, unless you were there. Then came the Civil War, fought on our soil. Matthew Brady's photographs. If you weren't there, you could see his photographs from the Civil War on. And today, we see clearly the commotion that war brings. And some Americans have been on site and seen it with their own two eyes, but not on our own soil. And for the first time in a long time, it's been over 70 years now since post-Christian Europeans have killed and destroyed each other in the tens of millions. You know, one time it was thought that war is good, makes you tough, weeds out the weak and that. War, same thing in the ancient world. Much of the world at the time of Jesus was experiencing the so-called Pax Romana, the Roman peace. But don't tell the Romans. To keep the peace means that the Romans had to engage in constant warfare. During the Pax Americana now, we keep the peace by fighting in wars. For the Romans, often the warfare was with the Jews, who just wanted their country back. The Romans, for their part, saw them as rebels against their rulers, and in 70 AD, the Romans did what Jesus said would be done. So no, that's not what Christianity is about, taking away the commotion on this earth. And in fact, life in this fallen world is still life in this fallen world. And people are all different, people are all the same, no matter time and place. And commotion is part and parcel of living on this living planet, constant in a constantly changing world. And then there's persecution for you Christians. And then there's kind of just the everyday commotion, the stuff that happens every day in life. You know, it's always something, isn't it? It's always something. So, that's the first thing, the first sign of the end. A lot of commotion. Second sign of the end, temple's going to be destroyed, done and done. The third thing is that when that last day finally comes, you're going to know about it. You're going to know about it. I think that religion that teaches that Jesus came about 100 years ago and we kind of missed it. Nope, You ain't going to miss it when he comes. You'll know when that time comes. Not all commotion is the same. There is normal commotion, and then there's commotion like you've never seen before. Commotion in the sky like you've never seen. And what will that look like? Well, I just said like you've never seen. Commotion on the earth like you've never seen. And what will that look like? Well, the effect, he says, men fainting, literally. It will take your breath away with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming with a cloud, with power and with glory. And other places it says there's going to be a trumpet blowing. Trumpet blowing. When these things, you're not going to miss it. When these things begin to take place, look up, raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. There. That's what Christianity is all about. That's why Jesus came into the world. By his life, death, and resurrection, he has won for you redemption. And when that time comes, others will be scared to death, tremble, and look for a place to hide. You stand firm. Look up into the sky and greet the redemption for which you have been all these years patiently waiting. The redemption that is yours through faith in Jesus. And shortly after that, the second tower fell in the same way. And me, that's the last time I've seen that. I don't watch it. I can't watch it. Maybe someday. Before 9/11, perhaps the worst day ever for our country was December 7, 1941, a day that does live in infamy. The Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, 2,403 Americans killed, including 68 civilians. 1,177 went down on the Arizona Sunday morning. And not one of those 2,403 people went to bed on Saturday thinking that the next day would be their last day on the earth. And the day for those people who went to work at the World Trade Centers on 9/11 started like any other day. Not very many people had even thought that terrorists might possibly use airplanes to do what they did. Certainly, none of those 2,996 killed. The World Trade Center, Pentagon, United Flight 93, none of them went to bed the night before and got up thinking. None of them saw that coming. Unlike them, the last day, that cataclysmic event that you won't miss, that will put those other cataclysmic events today to shame, we know it's coming. We don't know when. We don't have a clue about the timing, but we do know that it's coming. We know that it's coming because Jesus has told us it's coming. Life is not one big circle, but it is a line. And this thing is going somewhere. This thing is going somewhere. Our destination is our redemption. That word means release. From all this commotion, big picture, small picture, all this commotion that is part and parcel of life in a fallen world, from that we will be released. All that commotion close to home, in the home, part and parcel of life in the fallen world, from that we will be released. Released from those things, but not released into nothingness. We will be released from the bonds of this earth and into the bliss It's the opposite of commotion. That is heaven. And that, in the end, is kind of what Christianity is all about, isn't it? Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.